Today's shiur is taken from the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak from Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Kutner Zitzal on Shavuos, and it is the last mimer in the Sefer, and it's entitled Divrei Torah Be'inyan Limud Tinoikei Shebeis Rabbim. That this was a drusha that Rav Kutner gave to a convention of Torah Mesorah, and he was discussing the role of a mechanech, someone who teaches Jewish children in Klal Yisrael. And we're going to see from what Rav Kutner said, we're only going to learn part of the mimer. It's actually written in Yiddish, we're going to see how a gadol looks at something with a totally different viewpoint than a regular person. So before we get into the actual shiur that Rav Kutner Zitzal gave at that time, by the way, he starts off the shiur by saying that he apologizes for not standing when he's giving the shiur, but he's sitting, because he says standing would mean he's giving a speech. And he said there's no greater inflation in the world today than speeches. He says he's speaking to such an exalted group of people that the vehicle of communication should be a speech would not really be fitting for such an exalted group. And therefore, instead of standing and speaking, he's going to be sitting and learning. He's going to teach a shiur. He's going to learn Torah with the Olam. And what do you learn with a group of Melamdim? You learn Hilchus Melamdim. And then he says, I can't teach you all of Hilchus Melamdim in one session, so we'll concentrate on one point. And what he concentrates is on a Gemara in Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara says, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Baram Zachar Oisai Ha'ish L'Toiv. We have to remember a certain person for good. What was the name of that person? Yeshua ben Gamla Shmoy. His name was Yeshua ben Gamla. Shel Mole Hu, would it not be for Yeshua ben Gamla, Nishtakech Torah Yisrael. Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. Who was Yeshua ben Gamla? So Rashi says, he was one of the Kahanim Gedolim that was during the second Beis HaMikdash. Most of the Kahanim Gedolim during the second Beis HaMikdash were not very big tzaddikim. In fact, they used to tie a rope when the Kohen Gadol would go. They used to buy it. It was a position you bought from the king. And they used to tie a rope when the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur. And someone who didn't do tshuva and was a chote, he wouldn't survive going into the Kodesh HaKadosh. And then they would pull him out. They weren't allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh to retrieve his body. So they had this rope where it tied to his leg, and they would pull him out. Unfortunately, that was the fate of most of the Kohanim Gadolim. But because of, even though they knew that they're jeopardizing their life when they go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, but the covet of being the Kohen Gadol, they risked their lives to get this honor. But Yeshua ben Gamla, Tosfos says over here, tzaddik gomer hayo. He was a total tzaddik. He was an exception to most of the Kohanim Gadolim of the Second Temple era. So this, we owe him a big debt of gratitude, because if not for him, Torah would have become forgotten amongst the Jewish people. Why? What happened? Shebetchil at the beginning, mi sheyesh loy av melamdei Torah. Whoever had a father, the father would teach him Torah. Mi sheein loy av, what happens if somebody was a yosom, an orphan, he didn't have a father, loy hayo lamei Torah. So he didn't learn Torah, he had no one to teach it to him. My drosh, what pasuk did they learn? Ulamadetem oisam. It says you should teach your children Torah, and we learn ulamadetem. The word oisam means atem. In other words, we're going to see how Rav Kutner explains this. But the main obligation is for a father to teach Torah to his child. So the father, those children, most children had a father. The father taught him Torah. The ones who didn't have a father, there was no father to teach Torah. Hiskinu, they made a rule, Sheyiyu Meshivim Alamde Tanaikis Birushalayim, that in Yerushalayim, those children who didn't have a father, they could go to Yerushalayim, and there they would find Rebbeim, teachers, and they could go to the teachers, and those Rebbeim would teach them Torah. Why should they go to Yerushalayim? My drosh, what does it say in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya Navi? Ki mitziyon teitze soiru dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That Torah will go out of Yerushalayim. Tosfos explains here, and I'll quote it inside, Lefi shayaroya kedusha gedoyla. What did the Yosom see when he came to Yerushalayim? He saw great holiness. V'kohanim oiskim b'avoida. He saw the kohanim busy doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And his heart would therefore be more prone to fear of Hashem and to learn Torah. As it says in the Sifri, Laman Tilmoid Liyira, go to the Beis HaMikdash, so that you will learn to fear Hashem. And the Gemara learns out, Godel, this is speaking about Meiser Sheni, why was there was a mitzvah to spend Meiser Sheni? You eat the fruits of Meiser Sheni, which were the first and second year of the Shemitah, and the fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. Either you brought the fruits to Yerushalayim, or if they were too heavy, you were able to redeem them for money, and you would spend the money for food in Yerushalayim. So there were, besides eating in Yerushalayim, there was a side benefit, says the Sifri, Godel Meiser Sheni. This mitzvah of Meiser Sheni, of eating in Yerushalayim, it's a great thing. Why? Shemevi lidei Talmud. It brings a person to learn Torah. How does eating Meiser Sheni bring you to learn Torah? Lefi shohayoyimid b'Yerushalayim. This man who was spending his money of Meiser Sheni, or eating the fruits of Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, ad sheyoichel Meiser Sheni shaloi. Until he ate up his Meiser Sheni, he was in Yerushalayim, and he would see Shekulam Oiskim B'Mlecha Shemayim U'Bavoida. What were all the people in Yerushalayim doing? Right? They weren't going to the museums. They were and other hot spots in town. They were going to do the Avoda, and they were busy with holy things in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Gamhu Mechaven Li Yerushalayim V'Oisik B'Torah. So he was influenced by this Sviva, this holy atmosphere that he found himself in, and that led him to learn Torah and to have fear of Hashem. So that's what the Sifri says, Godel Meiser Sheni Shemevi Lidei Talmud. That's really why Hashem made the mitzvah of Meiser Sheni, not just that you should eat in Yerushalayim, but when you're going to eat in Yerushalayim, you're going to be influenced by the positive atmosphere of the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. So this Tosus is an important concept here in the whole Gemara, and Rabbi Huttner doesn't mention it, but I think we're going to see Rabbi Huttner's idea is similar to what Tosus is saying over here. In other words, it wasn't just that the Yosom went to learn Torah from a Rebbe in Yerushalayim, but the way the Yosom got trained, he didn't have a father, but he got trained, of course, from the Rebbe in Yerushalayim was teaching him. But Tosfos is telling us that besides the Rebbe, he was influenced by the positive atmosphere of what he found in Yerushalayim, just like the person who ate Meiser Sheni. So, based on this Gemara, Rav Huttner told this group of Melamdim that he was addressing that people have a big misconception about this Gemara. How does a regular, let's call him a Jewish historian, how does he learn this Gemara? He learns this Gemara that here we see that what we have today all over the civilized world, what's called compulsory education, that a person has to have his child educated. Okay, you could do homeschooling. You have to prove that you're keeping up with the standards of the school system. But basically, you have an obligation not to let your child be a uncontrolled barbarian. You have to educate him. So there's a concept called compulsory education. So the Jewish historians, with pride, say that way before the rest of the world came up with compulsory Jewish education, Yeshua ben Gamla was the one we didn't complete the Gemara. We left off in Yerushalayim. The Gemara goes on. Because this was the, in other words, the original system was there was fathers teaching their children. You didn't have a father, you didn't get taught. The next stage in the system was you went to Yerushalayim. But that also didn't work. Why? Vadayin, Mishi Eshlai Av Hoyama Loyam Alamdai. A person who had a father, the father would bring him up and be malamed him. But Mishain Lay Av Loy Hoya Oila Velamed. A person who didn't have a father. How did the Yasam wind up in Yerushalayim? So if he had a father, so the father said, you know what? Maybe I can find a Rebbe who's a better teacher than me, and I'll bring him to Yerushalayim. But if the Yosem didn't have a father, so very often the mother had to stay at home, watch the younger children. She wasn't able to travel to Yerushalayim. So who brought him up? So again, the system didn't work perfectly. Hiskinu de meretakonu sheyu moishivin b'chol plach uplach umachnisin oisoi kiben tezayin kiben yudzayin. So they made that in each of the localities, they would have a Rebbe. But when did the children, the Yosem, when did he start learning? 16 or 17. But to start at 16 at 17 is a little too late in the game. Till 16 or 17, he never had a Rebbe to teach him. So he's used to not being disciplined. So what happened? Mishayu Rebbe Koyesalov. What happened if the Rebbe he did something wrong and the Rebbe got angry at him? So this child, he was Mavit boy. He rebelled and he slammed the door and he ran out of school and that was the end of school, the Yotza. Ad Sheboy Yeshua ben Gamla. This is why we have to thank Yeshua ben Gamla. The Tikkun, he made a takana. He made a law. Sheyiu Meshivin Melamde Tanaikis Bechol Medina Medina Ubechol Ir Ve'ir. That not in Yerushalayim only, but in, and not in just the big metropolis like New York City, there'd be a teacher. No, in every country, every state, every city. Umachnisin, I say, they didn't wait till 16, 17. Keben Sheish, Keben Sheva. 6 or 7 years old, they already brought them to learn, and then they were used to being taught, and there was no discipline problems, and they became great Talmidei Chachamim. So we have to thank Yeshua ben Gamla, because if not for him, the whole educational system could have been destroyed, and Torah would have been forgotten from the Jewish people. So now, Rav Huttner says, people understand that the Jews are the ones who had compulsory education way before the rest of civilization. So Rav Huttner says, and it's put here in bold, so I'm going to read it from the Yiddish, Mir zogen da klor un offen as der ganzer nusach is hepecha emes. We're saying here clearly that this entire Nusach is against the truth. That if you understand this Gemara that we just learned in this way, that you should know that this is totally against the truth. And this is not what the Gemara is trying to say. So he says the following. He says, in the beginning, there wasn't the danger that Torah would be forgotten. Now, when the first system started, what was the system? A father would teach Torah, and the ones who didn't have a father did not learn Torah. So he says, at that point, it was working. It worked for hundreds of years. It worked for thousands of years. What about the children who didn't have a father? So he says, this is what we call the incubator generation. Rav Huttner says, let's say somebody would tell you that in a country, there was a law that all mothers who give birth, their children have to be put in incubators. That was the law of the country. So if that was the law in the country, everyone would figure out right away that there's something wrong with all the mothers. There's some illness, there's some infectious disease, whatever it may be. If the health system of the country dictated that every newborn child must right away be put in an incubator, it means there's something defective in the mothers and that the children without an incubator are not going to be survive. But are we going to say, wow, what a great country, everybody's on an incubator? We're going to say, Nebuch, unfortunately, We have a substitute. Instead of having the real thing, we have a substitute to the mother, and that is the incubator. So he says the same thing is in chinuch. The Torah has to come just like a child has to be born biologically from a mother, and we can't have a professional mother. We have to have a biological mother. The same thing in Torah has to come from where life comes. Just like the life comes from the father, the way it really should be is that Torah should come, just like the guf has to come from a mother, the neshama has to come from the father. If everything was working the way it was supposed to work, then the Torah would be coming from the neshama of a child. The Torah would be coming from the source of life, which is the father, and that's where the Torah would come as well. He says it's very nice to have in your job, in your life, a profession. But life itself can never become professional. You have a life, and in your life you have a profession, but the profession can't take over your life. So the same thing, Torah is supposed to come from the source of life, from the father. If today we have to go to a professional mechanech, it means there was a defect in the father. Just like we said, if you'd have all the children on incubators, it would mean there would be a defect in the mothers. So too, today, what Yeshua ben Gamla did is he saw that a substitute was necessary. If the father's role was correct, so then the child who didn't have a father, in the olden times when things were working the way they were supposed to be working, that child who grew up in an atmosphere where all the fathers were doing what they were supposed to be doing correctly, so that child would, by osmosis, here's what I say, where the Tosfos says that when in your shalayim, the yosom picked up from the environment. It wasn't just the Rebbe who was in your shalayim in stage two. We learned the Gemara that stage two was they had Rebbeim Yerushalayim and the children would go to Yerushalayim. It wasn't just the Rebbe in Yerushalayim. It was the whole atmosphere of Yerushalayim that had a positive effect on the child. So when things were running the way they were supposed to be running, so even if in every city there were a few families that unfortunately had Yosemin who didn't have a father, but that Yosem was in the street together with most children who had fathers, and those fathers were functioning properly. So in that environment, even the Yosem was taken care of. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, there was no need for Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Later on, Yeshua ben Gamla saw, unfortunately, there's something wrong with the fathers. They're not doing their job correctly. Now, not only their children are not getting the proper chinuch, those yesaimim who are in the street, they're not picking up the kedusha and the chinuch that they would in a society which has fathers who are acting properly. He says they went down. He says everything is relative. He says a millionaire, today you have, I know somebody, I heard he had $3 billion before the recession, and now Nebe, he only has $1 billion left. So he's a poor man. Everything is relative. So in other words, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla saw that things are going down, as we could say today, halavai, we would be on the level of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla saw when he saw that something has to be done. Generations go down. But relatively, Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla saw, we're getting poor. We're not on the level of a few thousand years ago. I gotta do something. What Torah could be, it's falling. I better do something or else it's gonna fall more. So that's what we have to thank Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla had the foresight to see that we have to do incubation. Just like a biological mother would have to put her child in an incubator, the biological father, the one who really should be giving the Torah to the child if everything would be good. And in that environment, even the Yosom would thrive. His friends would all have fathers. The father would say, here, Yankel, come learn, and Yossel de Yossoim, you come in also. And he would teach him, and the kid would, even though he didn't have a father, but he would be raised just as if he had a father, if everything was going well. Yeshua ben Gamla saw there's a defect. The fathers aren't doing the job properly. Unfortunately, we have to go to a substitute. We have to go to an incubator. We're going to have to go to a Rebbe, and the Rebbe will be a substitute for the father. So this is how Rav Huttner, as a Gadol, sees. Not like the Jewish historian sees, wow, the Jews are unbelievable. They had compulsory Jewish education way before the rest of the world. For the rest of the world, that could be good. But for people who are trying to get Torah, and Torah is kihem chayenu, the way it really should be is you get Torah from the father who you're getting life from. Unfortunately, we have a substitute. That's where Rav Huttner says that it says, Lamadetem oisam es b'neichem elu talmideichem. You should teach Torah to your children. Chazal say these are your students. So Rav Huttner says that if a Talmud thinks that all he's getting from his Rebbe is a Gemara, a Rashi, a Tosfos, he's not a Talmud and the Rebbe's not a Rebbe. He has to realize that the Talmud is getting from a Rebbe what a child gets from a father. The question is, if it means Talmud, why don't you say Ulamaritem Oysam es Talmideichem? Why say it means sons, and sons means Talmidim? Say directly it means Ulamaritem es Talmideichem. The answer is the Torah wants to teach you what a real Talmud gets from a Rebbe is what a son gets from a father. Just like a son gets nothing less than life itself from his father, that's what a true Talmud gets from his Rebbe. He's getting life itself. So Yeshua ben Gamla, when he saw that there was a defect in the fathers, he understood, first they tried Yerushalayim. The sviv of Yerushalayim would work, but that wasn't a foolproof remedy. Finally, they had to put in every city Malam Deitai. So unfortunately today, we have a substitute to the father, that's the Rebbe, and the Rebbe, to be a good Rebbe, has to give over to the Talmud life itself, kihem chayenu, he has to give that over to his Talmidim. This is the first thing I'd like to share with you from the Pachad Yitzchak. What it really shows us is how a gadol looks totally different at the same facts than we would with our own vantage point. The final thing I'd like to share with you is in Maimer Tess, and what's interesting, last night my chavrusa picked up this sefer we were learning together. It's called Yom Tov Shiurim. It's from Rabbi Miller, who was the I think his name is Rabbi Mordechai Miller, who was the principal of the Gateshead Jewish Teachers Training College, and he has a famous sefer called Shabbos Shiurim, and this one he wrote later, it's called Yom Tov Shiurim. And in the Yom Tov Shiurim, he quotes this mimer that we're going to end the shiur with from Rav Huttner, which is Mimer Tess. And he brings down the medrash that this mimer is based on. So we'll start with the Medrash. Last week we spoke about the greatness of Torah, how the Klal Yisrael had a charada, vayechrad kol ha'am, from the overwhelmingness of Torah, how the whole world was quiet at the moment of Kabbalah HaTorah. So similarly, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, on the Pasuk, which says, L'choy of his cheeks, karugas habosim, are like a bed of spices, Migdalois merkachem, as sweet flowers. Sifsois of his lips, shoshanim, they're like roses. Noitvois mor avar, they dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Myrrh. So on this, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Maidich siv l'choyav karugas habosim, what is the meaning of the pasuk? His cheeks are like a bed of spices. Mikol dibber v'dibber sheyatzim epi HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'matan Torah, nismalei kol la'olam b'samim. Each utterance of Hashem at the giving of the Torah, the entire world was filled with sweet-smelling fragrances of spices. So the Medrash asks, v'chi ma'acher shemidibber rishen nismalei dibber sheini laheichan holach, if it is so happened that with the first dibber, the first utterance of Hashem, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, if the whole world got filled up with spices, so where was there room in the world for the fragrances of his second utterance? The whole world is full of the sweet smell that came from Hashem's first dibber. Where is there room for the second? So the Medrash answers that Hashem brought out of his treasure house a wind. And that wind removed all the fragrance emanating from each utterance. And on that, the Pasuk concludes and says, Sif Soysav Shoshanim, his lips are roses. Nightvice moreover, so the Chazal say, don't read it Shoshanim, roses, but Sheshainim. If you take the Vav and instead of putting it before the Shin, Shoshanim, you put it after the second Shin, it becomes Sheshonim. Shonim means the Sheshonim. The fragrance has changed. Shinui. It changed. It means like a wind came and took away the first fragrance, and in its place came a second fragrance. So on this Chazal, Rav Huttner bases the following. We find the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, they once asked a Rebbe a question. And when they heard that this person asked Rabbeinu HaKadosh a question, he was given some mussar. And he was told, Ki koi Rebbe b'hai mesichta. When Rebbe's learning one Gemara, al tishali b'mesichta achrita. Don't ask him in another mesichta. Ilav the gavra rabahu. If he wouldn't be a big person, he would have given you an answer that's not correct, and you would have been embarrassing him. In other words, it seems, Rav Huttner says, again, Rav Huttner's going to learn different than we would learn, it would seem, that if he's learning one thing, don't ask him in another place because he's not so great. And since he's not so great, he can't answer you in the other place. He's learning here. I'm not learning that sugya. I can't give you an answer. Rav Huttner says that's not the correct, the Rishonim tell us that is not the correct understanding of what the Chazal is saying. The Chazal is saying the opposite. The greater a person is, not the smaller he is. The greater a person is, he gets involved in that one Gemara. He has no room at that moment for the other Gemara. And the opposite, the smaller he is, the more room he has to go to the other one. Rav Huttner's Lashon is that Dafke gadlusa shel adam hihi amachayeves hishtakus gemura umuchletes b'mesechta shuaymed bar. The greater a person is, the more involved he's totally in that gemara that he's learning now. Ad kidei shlilas efsharis, it's impossible for him hachuva b'mesechta achrita, answer you in another mesechta. Adarabba, ad kama shetechsar midas gadlo shel arav, the lower he is, there will be less of a prohibition on you to ask him elsewhere. The smaller he is, the less problem it is to ask him elsewhere. The bigger he is, there's more problem to ask him elsewhere. He's totally engrossed in what he's learning now. He can't divest himself from here and go to the other place to learn. So we'll come back to this in a few minutes to explain it more. But what I want to get to is, Rav Huttner says, where do I know that the greater a person is, the less ability he has to go and answer in another mesechta? He says, we learn it out from Har Sinai. There's a rule that learning has to be patterned after what happened at Har Sinai. It's called kinnisi nasa. Torah has to be learned the way it was given. For example, Chazal say, just like Torah was given be'ema, be'yira, be'reses u'be'zeya, Torah was given with fear, different kinds of fear, ema, yira, reses air, trepidation, sweat. It was given in a very tense atmosphere. That's how you have to approach Torah. You can't approach Torah in a lackadaisical manner, in a joking around manner. You have to approach it very seriously. How do you learn this out? because the pasuk puts two psukim together. The Torah puts two psukim together. Vahidatem levanecha levnei vanecha. You should teach your children and your grandchildren and your great grandchildren and what's right next to it. Yoim asher amadato lefnei Hashem lekecha b'chorev. The day that you stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai. So in other words, what's the Chazal learned from here? The smichas. The connection between these two thoughts, that the way the Torah was given at Har Sinai, that's the same way it has to be transmitted at Har Sinai. Says Rav Huttner, we just learned the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, that when Hashem gave the Torah, that each dibur of Hashem was so overwhelming that it covered the entire world with fragrances. And the Medrash says, if it covered the whole world with fragrance, so how did the fragrance of the next dibur of Hashem have place to go? It's already full of the fragrance of the first one. The answer is a wind came and knocked away the first fragrance. The second fragrance came in. So says Rav Huttner, what do you see? How was the Torah given? The Torah was given in a way that when the first fragrance was there, there was no room for the second to come. So the same thing, when you learn Torah, you're so involved, the greater you are, the more involved you are in the first Masechta, there is no room for you to go to the next Masechta. That's how we learn it out. So the question that I had on this explanation of Huttner is, because the Gemara itself says there, you know, if Rebbe wouldn't be a big person, He would have given you a wrong answer. He happens to be a big person. He was able to go from one Masechta and go to the other. So Rav Huttner made a statement. The greater you are, the more difficult it is to go to the next Masechta. The lower you are, the less engrossed you are in the first Masechta, it's easier for you to go to the second Masechta. The more engrossed you are, you're like the Torah was given. The first dibber filled the whole world with spice, fragrances. There was no room for the second. So the greater you are, there's no room. But the Gemara itself says that Rebbe was a gavra rabba, a great man, and he was able to. Like Man Chavrusa said, Ramayshe Feinstein, he could be in this Masechta. You ask him, it's as if he was in the other Masechta. So I think you have to say, Rav Huttner does not raise this because he probably takes it on. He might allude to it. The answer is Hashem was able to remove with a wind the fragrance that filled the whole world with the first dibber and bring in the second dibber. So it means as follows. The normal person, the greater, as he goes up and up and up, the more engrossed he is, the less he's able to be involved in another Masechta. It takes, though, the Gavra Rabba, the real great person, he is Kaviyachal similar. He can come, the real Gadol Ador can come to the Madrega of what Hashem can do, that even though he's so involved, Rav Moshe, when he was involved in this Masechta, he was totally involved in this Masechta, but he was so great that he could cut himself off, just like Hashem took a wind and removed the first dibber and brought in the fragrance of the second dibber. Rav Moshe could take the fragrance of Bava Kamma and rip himself out of Bava Kamma and go to Bava Metzia and answer you just as well. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a Gavra Rabba. The Gemara says if he wouldn't be a Gavra Rabba, then he wouldn't be able to. But a Gavra Rabba is able to cut himself off from one and go to the other. So it comes out, we have different levels here. The lower a person is, the easier it is for him to go to another Masechta. The greater a person is, the more difficult it is. The Gavra Rabba, who's the real great, the highest great, even though he's totally engrossed in the first Masechta, he has the ability to cut himself off and transplant himself into the next Masechta and function in both Masechtas. That's the real Gavra Rabba. So what Rav Huttner says is true, up to the Gavra Rabba, who can even do similar to what Hashem himself did by cutting him off the first dibber and going to the second dibber. I just want to end off, I said this recently at the Mashgichim conference that we had, and this is a story that took place with Rav Friedler, Rav Tali Friedler, Zitzal, who was a tremendous goyin. He was Marbitz Torah for 50 years in America, in England, Canada. And I once brought a person to him, and the person said, can I ask the Rosh Yeshiva a question in Masech the Sukkah? So Friedler said, I'm not learning Masech the Sukkah now. The Gemara says, if you're holding a one Masech the, don't ask it another. He says, but the Gemara says, Kikoi Rebbe behind Masech the, Loise Shah Masech the Rebbe. Kikoi means when he's engrossed. He's totally involved in this Masech. Don't ask him another. He says, you know, I'm learning. I'm not totally engrossed in this Masech. So you can ask me in the other Masech. So he asked him in the other Masech. And Friedler responded as if he was learning that Masech that day. With Rishayim, Achroinim, it was unbelievable. So anyone who knew Rav Friedler knew that he was always coy. He wrote three svarim, Imre Shefer. He was always coy behind Masech. He was totally involved. In his anivus, we know the real answer. The real answer is he was a gavra rabba. He was like Rav Yehuda Nasi. He was like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that even though he was totally engrossed in one Masech, he could rip himself out of that Masech and go to the other Masech. So that was the greatness. In his humbleness, he said, I'm not koi in this Masech, I'm not engrossed. And Rav Hutner said, the less you're engrossed, the easier it is to go to the other Masech. Rav Friedler was, though, the real reason he was engrossed, but he was a gavra rabba, and that's why I was able to go to the other Masech.